Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray before I speak. Lord, please take my imperfect words and use them to speak to each one listening, just what they need to hear from you today. Please let anything that is not of you in my words or our thoughts fade away. For your glory, Lord. Amen. I wonder if you can think of a time in your life when you didn't feel in control of what was happening. It doesn't take too long, does it, to come up with something, I'm sure. And I am convinced that nobody here has ever been or felt completely in control of their life all the time, because that's just not how life goes, is it? It doesn't mean that we don't want to feel in control, because it makes us feel comfortable, can bring a feeling of safety. And you know what? Some of us like to be in control more than others, and we are the control freaks. And I raise my hand, I am definitely one of those. So I have three cartoons for you, just to get us started. So if we have number one, here we are. This is a man at a lectern saying, "I will be in full control until everything goes out of control." That's kind of the reality, isn't it? And the second one, "I like to be in control, so I try not to move." That's kind of funny, but isn't there a lot of truth in that as well for some of us? And it can actually be really easy to put off doing things for fear of what might happen, things not going our way. And then number three, a good one for Sunday. This is a minister saying to his congregation, "The Lord works in mysterious ways, except on Sundays when I take over." Well, my prayer today is that God is in charge this morning, and that I and we are open to all that he has for us, especially if it's not what is already planned. And in my head, I'm kind of thinking, but maybe next week would be better to do that, God, thank you very much. But wouldn't it be amazing just to know that God was here and having his way among us, whatever goes on, and that really he is the one in charge. Okay, so we are going to talk a little bit about being in control, because that is the message that I got when I read that passage from Colossians. It's so rich. There's so many things that you can take from those words. But what I got from that was something about control. And you probably didn't when you heard that, but I did. So that's what I think maybe God's put on my heart to bring today. It's really easy, isn't it, to think of things that we're not in control of. There's really obvious things, like we don't control when the traffic lights will change when we're driving along. We definitely can't control the weather, even though we would love to, wouldn't we? Especially at the moment, because I still feel like we're in January. And I forget that we're actually just a few days away, really, from spring. And thank God for that. But come on, let's have the weather to go with it, please, God. We don't even control when the postie will turn up with our mail. Those are all things that are completely outside of our influence. But there are times when we are involved in the circumstances in the situation and things might not go according to plan. The consequences can range from being mildly annoying to downright frustrating. And we can experience some really difficult situations that are stressful, upsetting, painful, or even heartbreaking that we just can't always control. And it's terrible to go through. And this is the reality of life. It has its ups and downs. And it can be tempting to think that when we choose to follow God, all of that will go away, that life will be plain sailing. But that is not the case. And we all know and experience that, and we support each other through those tough times. There are no promises of an easy life when you are a Christian. Before we come on to thinking about that Bible passage and what we can control, let's just acknowledge that we can't control God or other people. I wonder if we sometimes try to attempt to control God in some small way, maybe more than we think. I wonder if we have ever prayed something to God like, God, if you do this, then I will do that. Does that ring bells? I remember once as a teenager, I just lost, I think it was a pound coin probably in the car. And when you're, you know, young, that's a significant amount of money, even when you're older. And I really wanted to find it, and I just couldn't. And I know I prayed something like, God, if you help me find this coin, then I will, I can't remember what it was, probably put it in the collection or something like that, in the offering. I know I've definitely prayed that kind of thing. It's kind of trying to give God a nudge or a big elbow into doing something. I wonder if we've ever tried to convince God that our way is better in doing something, that it makes more sense than his way. Well, maybe it is in our world, but maybe not his, and we know that his ways and thoughts are higher than our own. We do know that God is trustworthy and has wonderful things in store for us, even in the midst of the difficulties that life brings. So let's be even more open to God's plans for us and see not only what the blessings will be, but how we can glorify him in our world by letting him be in control. Now, can you or I control other people? Not really, can we? As much as we like to think we can and we try, but actually, I don't think we can. We can influence, for sure, but I don't think we can control another person's actions or thoughts. And for me, that's one of the hardest parts of being a parent, actually. And I knew that well before I even thought about having children. I was kind of aware, I suppose, that you can have a child and you can have your plans and what you would like to happen, but there's no guarantee that everything will go the way that you want. You know, we can be the best mother or father or teacher or boss or friend or neighbour or whatever it is, but there is no guarantee that how we want the other person to be or the situation to be will actually happen. Most of the time it probably will, but there are no guarantees. So where do we go from here? Because that all sounds a bit down and difficult, doesn't it? And I guess it is, but there is hope. It is helpful, I think, though, to acknowledge that there are limits to how much we can control, because then we're in a place to move on and not get stuck. So if we can have the next slide up. This is a person standing on this, like two circles on the ground. One is the things that he can control, and there's a wider circle of the things that he cannot. And his thought bubble says, I'm going to focus on the things I can influence. I think that's so helpful, to be aware of the places, the things where we can have an impact. And then there are the things that even though we might like it, we can't. And we have to know where to put our energies. We're going to look at the Bible passage again now, because I think that this is telling us some of the things that we can do, that we can be in control of, regardless of what is happening around us, the things that we can't necessarily control. So if we have the next slide, that's just got part of the passage on. This is part of verse 12 from Colossians chapter 3. it says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you were to read a bit further previous in chapter 3, the verses before it, you would find a list of behaviours to avoid, things not to do. I'm not going to focus on that today, but again, they are things that we are in control of because they're to do with us. As I look at this part of the verse that says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, it sounds to me like a mix between the fruits of the Spirit and the armour of God. Isn't that amazing? Maybe something to put on first underneath the armour of God. And I thought I should spend some time thinking about what clothes mean and so on. So I have three things. There's many more, I'm sure, that clothes do. But my three are: clothes cover up our nakedness, they protect us, and they reflect our personalities. Perhaps these characteristics, these virtues, which are godly, might cover up some of the parts of us that we might consider raw, the thoughts that we have that aren't kind, or however you might interpret that for yourself, that could be hurtful to others if they knew about them. Maybe some of these virtues protect other people. Is there a way that these virtues might protect us, the way that clothes do? Well, some would consider them weaknesses. If they looked at that list, some people would see weakness in that, but they're definitely not. It takes strength to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient in the face of adversity. We know that's actually the harder thing to do, isn't it? This is not about letting people take advantage of us. These are the ways that we can fight for justice and instigate change in a holy way. There is real power in them. And these characteristics become part of our personalities, given by God, and thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that when people see these qualities in us, they see not only us, but Jesus. With the help of God, we can control ourselves, our thoughts, our words, and our actions and reactions. That's what we can control. We can control ourselves. We're not to try to employ these characteristics or virtues robot fashion. God wants us to really be them. And so the final thing to put on is love. If we have the next slide. So this is a picture of a Bible, and you can see somebody's highlighted the passage, and they've drawn a picture, and it says, put on love, and the word of Christ will dwell in you richly. And the hanger on here has love put into it. Putting on love. The verse is verse 14, and it says, over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. With love as the foundation, all the others are made possible and genuine. We can't control how others will react or what will happen. We can control or be responsible for ourselves. We won't always get it right. And that's probably why Paul wrote the letter, when he wrote his letter to the Colossians, he said in verse 13, to bear with each other and to forgive one another, because he knows that nobody is perfect and we make mistakes and get it wrong sometimes. And we need to be forgiving of each other and ourselves when that happens. And so to pull this concept of putting on these virtues together, I have brought along some clothes, some of my clothes. Now, this analogy is definitely not perfect, okay? But bear with me. And I'm sure you'll be able to come up with something a bit better, but here we go. It's too warm for me to actually put them on today. So here is, this is one of my favourite jumpers. I only really wear it at Christmas time, but it's really thick and warm. And this is my warm woolly jumper of compassion. I know, it gets worse. And that's because when you have compassion for somebody, you kind of want them to be, to feel warm and cozy and snug. Can I get away with that? Yeah, good. I'm going to pop that here for now. Okay, I'll just remind you, this is not a perfect analogy. I'm doing my best. I'm already wearing my trousers of kindness. You will come up with something better, I'm sure, but I thought I'd better cover my whole body with this analogy, right? So my legs take me to places where I can be kind. That's the best that I could do. I have on my socks of humility because they activate when I get too full of myself and they start to smell. They just bring me back down to earth again. Okay, here are my... I really love these. They are fingerless, but these are my cashmere gloves of gentleness. And they are cashmere. They don't have fingers, but they're really lovely and soft. And I chose these because I want to treat people softly, gently, and not harshly. So I've brought those along. And I have a hat of patience. This is one that I crocheted myself. I won't put that on. So I have a hat of patience because when I'm feeling frustrated, I feel like my head might explode. And this is going to keep everything in and soothe me. So that is my hat of patience. And it's all, I know that's just a bit silly, but maybe, if anything, you'll remember Colossians 3. Sarah had some clothes. She's been a bit weird about it, but I know it meant something. And if that's what you remember, then that is fine with me. And finally, I have a coat. This is my coat of love, what I put on over everything. And I've chosen a raincoat specifically, not just because it was small and easy to carry, but I've brought a raincoat because it's going to repel any negativity around me and help keep me firm in my attempts to be all of those different virtues that we have talked about. So if you remember those things, or even better, come up with your own, please let me know. And maybe you'll remember those in the week, and you might just think, oh, I need to put on some gloves of gentleness today, whatever it is. When we look to Jesus, we find the perfect role model. He treated people with compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience, and he did it all in such a humble way. Do you know, I am all too aware that sometimes it feels like we are just trying to get through life, a day at a time, with all its stresses, chores, and responsibilities, and so many things to do. Even though we know that all of this compassion and kindness stuff is great, it's easy to see it as just something else I have to be or do, and it can feel like a burden. It's like something else now that I have to do. There's no mistaking that it is not easy, not all of the time. At times, these virtues will be very opposite to how we really want to act, what our earthly instincts are telling us is right. But we are called to rise above those instincts. Let's just look again at what Paul tells us in Colossians, in that Colossians 3, verse 17. I think we have another slide. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. How we are should show others what Jesus is like. We are his representatives. People will see a difference in us if we are wearing all of these virtues, especially when the circumstances would dictate a different response. Maybe other people would react differently. We will stand out and we will show them Jesus. And finally, where do we go when things aren't going our way? And when they are. When it all feels too much for us. And when we're sailing along nicely. When we just don't have it in us to be like Jesus to those around us. And when we do. Well, of course, we go to Jesus himself, first of all. And we turn to each other, too. We were never created to carry the load on our own or to celebrate alone. God created us to live in community together and with Jesus and with Jesus within us. Not always being in control is a fact of life, and it can feel burdensome and it can be exhausting. Jesus said the most wonderful and beautiful words to his disciples in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. And they are for you and me too, today, right now. If we have the next, here we go. So listen to these words, you can read them, and just let them wash over you. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isn't that wonderful to know that that is waiting for us, wherever we are, every single second of the day, that Jesus is there, and he carries the load with us.